Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning into another edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noisera, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and I have titled this episode Terraforming Earth Incursion, because we're going to be looking at all the assaults that humanity is under and more. So with that being said, let's jump right into it. So as I said, this episode is called Terraforming Earth Incursion, because we're going to be talking about all kinds of different things like that. I mean, the series that we've done with Terraforming Earth, you know, it was intended to show you how we've had all kinds of interactions with what I would consider, you know, extraterrestrial beings, interdimensionals, demons, however you want to look at it. You know, this is why I'm telling you guys to go check out our Demons, Aliens, and Robots series, because it's very, very important when looking at this type of stuff. But in this edition, in this particular one, we're going to be talking about, again, machines, man, and the architects of society. You know, how we're seeing the rise of all this stuff happen, you know, with NBC literally saying that we need to stop having kids. Like, you should really stop having children. With us really looking at what is happening to society, what is happening to us. And before I get into this, you know, you really got to ask yourself, what does this mean? We are literally in the age where we are questioning our worth in a world that we were born in, where we have to ask ourselves, should we exist? Should other people exist? Yes, everything has a right to live. But in this sense, they are now governing what is right, what is wrong. This is social engineering of the highest kind. If you guys didn't listen to our digital tripping and weaponizing the environment minicast, where we basically encapsulate these theories, where we look at how they're spraying 17-fold chemicals on people, you know, how they're basically trying to push people into a sub-reality, into a reality, a virtual reality or an augmented version of our world. This is what these people are trying to do. You see, because I'm going to try to stay away from the extraterrestrial portion of this. You know, if you guys definitely want to hear that, listen to our, getting over a cold. Listen to our Crisis Corner, Terraforming Earth, and then listen to our first part of the story, or of the series, you know, where we follow this, where we go through the timeline since 1909 to present day encounters, and how we're looking at things like Agenda 21 and how these are now considered human farms. This is something, a heavy topic in which we constantly look at. Whenever we look at, or even have to ask the question of, you know, what is terraforming? Are we talking about the radioactive water coming from Fukushima? Are we talking about the thousands of gallons of oil that is spilt? Are we talking about the Keystone Pipeline? Are we talking about the Arkema, Texas plant and how that exploded during Hurricane Harvey? Are we talking about the Gold King mine spill a few years earlier? Are we talking about all these other different environmental things that are happening? And the reason why I wanted to talk about this as a preface is so we could really look at that, so we could really ask ourselves, you know, who created the sun, the moon, and the stars? You see, who created what we see ourselves living in? And why do we feel like it is our right to destroy it? So a lot of the things that we're going to be getting into, you know, in this segment, or at least in the show, is things like post-weather modification, bioaccumulation, vaccines, all these different things that we see affecting us. But their intention in the first wave of this is to entice us with things like machines, with things like bitcoins, you know, with things like Sophia, smart cities, and all this other crazy stuff. Facebook. I mean, this is a perfect example of, you know, them being able to capture us, so to speak. And something very, very crazy happened with Facebook this week. They actually talked about, and we'll get into this, if anything, this might be a good way to springboard into this, into all this crazy stuff that we're talking about. But basically, it's Mark Zuckerberg on steroids, and how they're planning to scan your thoughts to enhance user safety. They're basically trying to talk about suicide watch, and how many people are getting on Facebook over here committing suicide. Because they understand that it's just, okay, it's a public forum. I mean, myself, you know, I've seen a video where a father was basically distraught that somebody else took his daughter to her own wedding, and they basically excluded the father, so, you know, he killed himself on Facebook Live. And these are the kind of videos that are out there, you know, but I'm not justifying at all. You know, there's all kinds of people that are out there that have troubled lives doing whatever they should, but they have access to the same tools we do. This is a pretext to, again, start things like thought control, mind control. We talked about this at the start of the year, you know, at the start of the year, the middle of the year, you know, throughout the year, throughout the seasons, that Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are working on telepathic technology. Elon Musk has his Neuralink, which is basically like the Matrix where he uploads your consciousness to it, with Mark Zuckerberg now developing technology that scans your thoughts basically off of your activity, your social activity, or your posts. You know, they have algorithms for everything. They'll detect whether or not you're depressed. But let's get into this article. I put it up November 28th. It says, this is from the Daily Sheeple, and it's a repost from the Zero Hedge. Facebook announces it will use AI to scan your thoughts to, quote, enhance user safety. A mere few years ago, the idea that artificial intelligence might be used to analyze and report to law enforcement apparent human behavior on social media and other platforms was merely the far-out premise of a dystopian movie such as Minority Report. But now, Facebook proudly brags that it will use AI to, quote, save lives based on behavior and thought pattern recognition. What could go wrong? The latest puff piece is TechCrunch profiling the apparently inconscious or innocuous sounding rollout of AI as if it was a mere software update to, quote, detect suicidal posts before they're reported. Opens with the glowingly optimistic line, quote, this software is to save lives. So who could possibly doubt such a wonderful and benign initiative, which involves AI evaluating people's mental health? All right, so before I continue in on this, because, you know, they got this guy from TechCrunch talking about this, you know, talking about the software, this is very big. What these people are trying to talk about is them basically being able to control your thoughts, save lives. People in Chicago have been doing this. The Chinese have been doing this. This is pre-crime thought software. Okay, what they're basically trying to do is gauge people's emotion. You got to realize how many different things have been going on with Snapchat. They have your face, they have your emotion, they have your location, they have your patterns. This is what they're looking for. They want your patterns. They want to see, well, are they feeling suicidal today? You know, and then you got to think as well with the chemtrails that they're spraying and what's on the news. We live in a very, very technocratic society. This is what I really try to point out to you guys. They do a lot of different things to try to illustrate or manipulate, socially engineer us into a direction that they want. So as I said before, detecting your thoughts via your post pattern on Facebook, and then seeing if you react or like any posts on Facebook about the current news, or if you go to Twitter, if you follow us on Instagram, or if you do a little bit of both. People develop patterns. This is why I'm trying to get people off of Instagram. Instagram is a good hub, but it's not the center. It's not the centerpiece. I suppose it could be, but my point is this: patterns are what these people are looking for. That is more metadata than you could ever provide. Yes, I'm sure they have me tracked. I'm sure they're listening right now. You should go back and listen to some of the episodes that have actually been censored live. My point is this: creating these patterns, this pre-crime, real-time crime tracking software that we talk about even in the Building the Matrix series, is crucial for the technocracy, for their future. How does this tie into terraforming Earth? Well, these people, if they have all this advanced technology, well, they need to see where everybody is at all times. There's no way that they could possibly see them without the technology. This is why everybody's got a smartphone in their pocket. They can document the society. This is the Matrix. Let me continue into this. It says that Josh Cronston from TechCrunch says this software is to save lives. Facebook's new proactive detection artificial intelligence technology will scan all posts for patterns of suicidal thoughts. When necessary, send mental health resources to the user at risk or their friends, or contact local first responders. By using AI to flag worrisome posts to human moderators instead of waiting for user reports, Facebook can decrease how long it takes to send help. CEO Mark Zuckerberg has long hinted that his team has been wrestling with ways to prevent what appears to be a disturbingly increased trend of live streamed suicides, as well as the much larger social problem of online bullying and harassment. People come over here and they talk that smack. I just block them these days. You guys have definitely worn down a lot of that compassion. But the people committing suicide online, I don't understand what that's about. If anything, these tools that we have, they're really amplifying the problem. They're amplifying the problem, but they're also providing solutions. So it's a double-edged sword. And if you listen to that episode with me and Sashin of Spoons of Consciousness, we talked about that. But them using this technology is even more of an invasion of our life, of our privacy. That's gone. They're in our thoughts. They're looking for our behavior. And we talked about this in the digital tripping minicast. The concept I'm not sure if it was Merck, of a company basically creating a pill that you ingested. And when you ingested it, it basically sent out emails or some kind of notification to your loved ones, as this technology would do. It would send it out to people and notify you of your behavior, whether or not you took your medication. And you see, this is the surveillance state. This is the technocracy. This is that real-time crime tracking. Now, they're trying to do it with emotions, because they can see that everybody gets triggered so easily, but they also notice that there's, like they said, this disturbing trend of people killing themselves online. So let me continue on here. It says, one recent example which gained international attention was the bizarre incident out of Turkey, where a distraught father shot himself on Facebook Live after announcing that his daughter was getting married without his permission. Yeah, hey, I saw that one. That was the one I was talking about. Though the example actually demonstrates the endlessly complex and foreseen variables involved in human decision-making and the human psyche, in this case, notions of rigid Middle East culture, taboos, and stigmas, clearly played a part. TechCrunch holds up, it is as much which AI could possibly prevent. It's crazy. This is crazy. You know, outside of them censoring me, they're literally trying to get inside of your brain. This is thought police. This is Big Brother. This is why, you know, if I did not have to operate on there, and this is why you see me trying to switch things up, guys, I would not be a part of this system. It needs to be stopped. You know, It sounds like it would be cool, you know, for a computer to tell you how it feels and make you feel content, but that's not, you're supposed to do that yourself, you see. And so this is, again, more that terraforming. Don't worry about what's going on. Play with these things over here. Don't worry about how, you know, the world around you is collapsing. Be more enticed by these distractions. So whenever we talk about Bill Gates creating a smart city, monitoring all these types of behavior, yeah, you know, it seems fantastic. It seems fantastic on the surface. But what does that truly mean? Where he has that kind of omnipotent eye. What is Microsoft? It's surveillance, it's power. He can see these people. He can probably hear this conversation. But he probably wants an actual city that he can govern, where he can see all this stuff go on, where he can have that much power. You see? People really, like, this might sound crazy, but like I said, let's take a listen to Bill Gates' Smart City.
Looks like a whole lot of nothing. An undeveloped area about 45 minutes west of downtown Phoenix off I-10 near Tonopah. But this land is now in the hands of one of the richest men on Earth.
I have a dream that every child in America will attend a great school.
One Bill Gates, and his plan is a big one. Belmont Partners, an Arizona-based real estate investment group, says a firm owned by Gates dropped a whopping $80 million to kickstart the development of a brand new community there called Belmont. The end goal? Turn this blank slate, roughly the size of Tempe, into its own smart city. Driverless cars, digital networks, data centers, you name it.
Bill Gates is known for innovation and those kind of things, and I think he picked the right location. He's coming to Arizona.
Sure. One shot of the Arizona Technology Council says this spot, it looks like...
Sure. Totally. And so you got to think about that. Carving out a land, 25,000 acres, doing it, making his own town, having it all there where he can watch all this type of behavior, and he's competing with Mark Zuckerberg, Tesla, Jeff Bezos, and all these other people who are part of this technocratic socioeconomic reformation. Another thing that we saw pop up in the news this week is the fact that Sophia, the robot that debuted herself at the UN conference, and who will be powering most people in the future, or most cities in the future in Saudi Arabia, now wants to have children. The world's first AI-based robot says she wants to start a family. Now, you got to think about that. These are subtle hints at what these people are trying to do. And then you have Elon Musk over here saying, we really need to regulate, you know, technology. What are kids to an AI program? What are kids to human? They're continuations of a legacy. Their growth, they're more powerful than us, or at least that's what we would intend for them to be. What would marry Sophia? What would create, how would they procreate? Then we start talking about self-replicating machines. We talk about a race of their own. We really have to look at how these people, and this is what's even crazier. Yeah, they're creating all this type of stuff. Like I said, imagine an entire city run by Sophias, right? Where humans are just kind of shuffled about from place to place. You know, you go here, you get your food, you go there, you get your entertainment, you go there, you get your sleep, you go there, you put in your production hours, you go here, you do this, you do that, and it's all governed in one of these Bill Gates' smart cities, where you know these people are trying to govern your actions, and we've talked about this tremendously, the concept of production versus consumption. All of these things are very, very important when we're looking at this, because these people are the scientists now. They've somehow turned our entire reality into some kind of experiment. So if they're trying to govern all kinds of regular humans, you know, shuffling them about, making sure they go to place, you know, make sure they take their vitamins, and even then, you know, the vitamins are drugged. They're trying to make all this stuff go about and not really see how that's dehumanizing us. How that's not making us whole. How it's actually subtly killing us. Or maybe that's their intention, is to subtly kill us. And I'll get into more of this stuff later, you know, about the vaccines, about the bioaccumulation, about the NBC not wanting us to have kids and stuff like this. But we have to look at why they're doing this stuff now. This is something that actually pretty... I'm not sure if it's a revelation I keep having. But the fact that they are literally, you know, they're trying to kill us in so many different ways. They're trying to go through and basically dehumanize us and put us in a state of subservience that we basically voluntarily, you know, either engineer ourselves or, you know, to be engineered by them. Humanity is being tested at so many levels, it really becomes crazy trying to break down what they're doing. I mean, they're releasing genetically engineered mosquitoes, you know, doing all kinds of stuff like that. And they don't think, or at least people don't think, that that's going to have an effect on us. We're literally talking, and we have debates these days about whether or not vaccines modify your DNA. They don't care. They're continuing to do these things. I mean, we really have to look at this. So then when we start talking about how we begin to modify ourselves, how we start to ask the questions of, well, you know what? If I'm going to be modified, let me be the one that modifies me. Let me hack my own DNA. I don't want to be a victim to this overarching system. I want to be a victor in it. But even then, because of the things they are doing, this will backfire. You see. So when I come back, I'm, you know what, we're gonna take a quick break, and when I come back, we're gonna be talking about, You know, these are the vaccines, the bioaccumulation, biohacking, and the manipulation of DNA, you know, and all of this stuff, how it really does affect us, the terraforming Earth aspect of this, where they're, and this is something you hear us talk about on the show, with Asgardia, the breakaway civilization, the deep state, however you want to call them, you know, committing their endgame. They already have these deals with either these otherworldly entities that have somehow found corporeal bodies, or that we have made for them, or that we have cloned for them. They've either made deals with these things, or they're still fighting with these entities, or these are very, very wicked people who were choosing to do these types of things and to grab a select few, jettison themselves off into space, and let us go through what you see us going through here today. And that's why when we begin to ask these deeper questions about what is actually happening, not only to us, but us around us, you got to look back at history. You've got to look at what they're planning to do. Why are we talking about the concept of terraformation? Because these people are literally not only trying to turn us into subhumans, but they are also trying to augment themselves. And as they leave Earth, or at least hang out near orbit, transform themselves, become the transhumans that they seek to do. This is not something that will be allowed to everyone. But I'm ranting. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about this and more. And like I said, NBC News, mainstream media, you know, really questioning whether or not we should have kids. So stay tuned. And we are back. Thank you guys for sticking around. Sticking around, hanging out here. And I know, I know, sometimes I really do kind of go off on Jags, and I don't make a lot of sense. But we really have to understand, when we're looking at this, they're saying, they are saying some of the most outlandish stuff so that they can get away with it. This can be in the annals of time. They can always say, oh, well, that was satire, or oh, we were serious. When we have to ask ourselves, you know, why are we still debating what's going on with the vaccines? If this is something that should be healthy, we shouldn't be debating them. I mean, we don't debate that fruit is healthy for us, right? The fruit and vegetables, you know, these things that have been here forever. We don't debate that those aren't healthy or, you know, necessary. And that's what you got to look at, even as well with big pharma, with all these things. They take the extract out of plants, and then they package it. They put it in some kind of chemicals. They put it in there with all kinds of other drugs and fillers and all kinds of other things, and then they sell the extract of the actual plant, hoping that that extract heals you, but it only heals you to a fraction of a degree because it's not the actual solution. It's a Band-Aid on a scar. Like, I have a huge problem with Big Pharma. I have a huge problem with this opioid addiction, I have a huge problem with what they're doing to society in general. Like I said, you know, we were going to come back talking about some of this depopulation mentality, this, oh, turnover, you know, it doesn't, I don't matter, life doesn't matter, you know, there's no need for a legacy, there's no need for a family, there's no need for any of this stuff that is imperative. Right here, NBC News, having kids is bad for Earth, procreating is deemed immoral. Now, and you really have to look at this through things like the vaccines, and I'm going to go off on a jag real quick before I hop in this. If you guys have been following some of the personal stuff that I say, you know, I really do want kids. I don't want kids like Sophia wants kids. Those are called Terminators. I actually want kids. I want a future. I want a legacy. I want my little guys or my little girl, my little lady, to go out there and go win, okay? What they are doing to kids today is crazy. They are scrambling children's minds. If it's not the story time drag queen, if it's not the Common Core, if it's not the food, if it's not the television, if it's not the entertainment, if it's not the culture, they are scrambling children's minds. What is education? Education should actually be something through which you learn. They are teaching kids not to learn. They are teaching kids to obey. They are not teaching kids to ask questions. They're not actually learning. They're not going to school to develop a thirst for something greater. What they're telling kids to do is go to school, learn how to be a mental basket case, and once you are there, you will go out into the world and you will show the world how much of a basket case you are. There will be no actual validity to what you do. There will be no actual common sense. All you will do is be a rambling, gibbering idiot. They are scrambling children's brains these days with drugs, with the pharmaceuticals, with everything. It is crazy. So whenever they talk about us not having kids, we're not even there yet. What about the vaccines? Why are they saying, oh, well, pregnant women should get the vaccine? You have to think about that. We are chemically intoxicating a fetus. And then once that fetus is out, it has a round of shots after shots after shots after shots. And if those shots are not enough, you know what they do? They just have them start eating. Or they hook them up to more machines that slowly start withering away at their life. It is crazy because this is the stark reality of the world that we are living in. So for NBC to say these types of things, and this is an article, you guys can go on our website and go check it out. It's very important. If anything, I'll try to get through it all. We have to ask ourselves, what are we stepping into? And I know it seems like an overwhelming fight that we're up against, and it seems like that. It really does sometimes, but you got to understand, the fact that we're having discussions about this, the fact that we're actually getting people to get up off of their tail and say, you know what, I am going to have a family. You know what, I am going to invest in gold outside of Bitcoin, or gold and Bitcoin. You know what, I'm going to delete my Facebook. You know what, I'm going to buy my own land. You know what, I'm going to do what I need to do to get healthy. These are victories. But we need to talk about the stark reality of the problem in order for us to actually talk about solutions. That's why I'm telling you guys every day, vote with your dollars. Vote with your lifestyle. Because the lifestyle that these people are trying to give us, this culture, this is a culture of death. It's a culture of plague, of fake plastic plague. I'm going to start saying that, plague or fastic. Yeah. But they're trying to give us this nonsense and tell us that's what life is. Let me get into this article. Let me get into this. Let me get back on track. Okay, it says that the author is parroting UN Sustainable Development Dogma that calls for population reduction throughout the world. Agenda 21 architects in the 1990s suggested that the Earth could only sustain 600 to 800 million people. What would happen to the other 6.5 billion people? Claiming that that's immoral to have children that you selfishly can add to your personal carbon footprint is anti-human, anti-civilization, and anti-Earth. I'm going to read that one more time. Claiming that that's immortal to have children that you selfishly add to your own personal carbon footprint is anti-human, anti-civilization, and anti-Earth. So in the 1990s, I'm a 90s baby. So these types of plans, these agendas, that's what I refer to. Agenda 21, Agenda 2050, all these different types of the Bible to some degree, all these different types of texts that these people put out here, they tell you what they're doing. Let's get back into this. It says a startling and honestly distressing view is beginning to receive serious consideration in both academic and popular discussions of climate change ethics. According to this view, having a child is a major contributor to climate change. The logical takeaway here is that everyone on Earth ought to consider to having few children. So before I continue, what we're talking, I have to break this down in so many different ways, what they're trying to say, because they're trying to say they're going to kill us. This even ties into why they want to genetically modify us, to reduce our carbon footprint, to reduce our intake. This is why, again, we see the vegan movement having such power, because it's so we can live off of scarcity. They'll say we live in abundance, but they'll only give us scarcity. This is global communism. And this is why you see capitalism underneath so much attack. But capitalism breeds diversity. Communism just makes everything the same. Communism breeds complacency. We need to strive for better. But this is a whole another ethics and philosophical and personal conversation you guys can have with yourself. What these people are trying to do is basically say, and we've talked about this before, that our time here on this planet, that we are detrimental upon the place, upon here. We need to cut back. We need to reduce our carbon footprint. That we are contributors to climate change. And this is why this is so important. Why the post-weather modification is so important. Because the Earth will always be here. You got to realize that. First and foremost, we're minute. We get what? Like a good 100 years? Maybe 120 if we do it right? But you got to think. Now we have this technology to where people are providing better standards of living. Better standards of care. All kinds of different alternatives to it. You know, look at how many, it's been 77 different holistic doctors that have died underneath mysterious circumstances because they have been doing what? Providing alternatives. Because we're realizing that the agricultural industry, big pharma, you know, the meat industry, the food industry, all this stuff is very corrupt, and it has it plays a huge part in our health. We even learned earlier that a new study has come out linking pesticides to Parkinson's. Now, I don't have to be a scientist to tell you that long-term exposure to pesticides, to many different forms of pesticides, can be detrimental to your health. I don't got to be a scientist to tell you that, bro. All right, that's some real stuff that you already know. But let me finish this. Okay, the logical takeaway here is that everyone on Earth ought to consider having fewer children. Although culturally controversial, the scientific half of this position is fairly well established. Several years ago, scientists showed that having a child, especially for the world's wealthy, is one of the worst things that you can do for the environment. Several years ago, they said, hey, you know what? Scientists are saying you need to stop having kids. That's bad. Because you know what's going to happen when you have kids? You're going to mess up the planet. And we've talked about this, you dirty consumer. If you guys are followers from that period, we are now in the time frame to where these people are telling us that you are bad. You are bad, your child is bad, your dog is bad, and you know what? Your grandkids are going to be bad too. And that sounds ridiculous, but they have to push the Overton window. They've got to sound as ridiculous as they can, so that when these times do come, they can justify the actions. These people are crazy. But continuing on, it says that data was recycled this past summer in a paper showing none of the activities likely reduced to individuals' carbon footprints are widely discussed. The second moral aspect of the view, that perhaps we ought to have fewer children, is also being taken seriously in many circles. Indeed. The author says, I have written widely on the topic myself. I have spoken on the topic myself. But scientific evidence and moral theorizing aside, this is a complicated question with plenty of opponents. And what follows, I will address some of the challenges of this idea, because while I recognize that this is an uncomfortable discussion, I believe that the seriousness of climate change justifies uncomfortable conversations. In this case, that means that we need to stop pretending that the decision to have children doesn't have environmental and ethical consequences. The argument that having children adds to one's carbon footprint depends on the view that each of us has as a personal carbon ledger for which we are responsible. Furthermore, some amount of an offspring's emission count towards the parent's ledger. Most environmentalists accept this sort of ledger when it comes to recycling, driving, and flying, but support begins to decrease when applied to family planning. The opposition is typically typified by Vox writer David Roberts, who argues that, quote, such an accounting scheme is utterly impractical because it seems to entail that one is never responsible for one's own emissions because, quote, we don't want to double count, as Roberts says. This means parents are really only responsible for their kids' emissions. The flaw in this objection is the plausible sounding caveat, quote, we don't want to double count. But why wouldn't we want to double count? If moral responsibility added up mathematically, then double count would be a serious problem. But I think it's clear that we should not accept a mathematical model of responsibility. Well, then whose fault is it for your parents being born? Are your grandparents dead yet? You see, this is some crazy stuff. We're having moral conversations on whether or not we should have children. These people are trying to propagate this kind of nonsense to tell you, you know what? The vaccines aren't working. The GMOs, they're not working. The chemtrails, they're not working. We're just going to tell them right out, stop having kids. Stop having kids. Oh, but Sophia can have kids. Our robot can joke and laugh about having kids, and we can all have a great time. It's so fantastic. But no, you human, you're not allowed to have kids. If we don't find that distressing, we don't understand the dire straits that we are in. That's why this episode is called Terraforming Earth. We are looking at these people literally tell us, you know what, human activity is bad. And we're going to come through with a brand new race of humans. We're going to come through and change up everything. You know what? I bet you thought things were good. But we're going to change. I'm just going to go through a few articles real quick that kind of illustrate what I would consider bioaccumulation and how these people are literally trying in so many different ways to get us right here. Japan could pump 1 million tons of radioactive water into the Pacific, and they're pumping at least 150 tons a day in that. Right here, another study links pesticide or Parkinson's disease to pesticides. Yeah, perfect. Number of toxic chemicals applied to vegetables have increased 17-fold since the 60s. the U.S. government plans to genetically engineer plants to spy on people. Health officials warn 40,000 could die as Britain hit with a three-week-long Arctic cold. Okay, now there's a few more, and I want to touch on this. Never before seen bacteria growing on outside of space station. So let that sink in for a second. Let's let that really sink in for a second. While you're letting that sink in, I wanted to get this other article up for you. Because we'll come back to that. I'm definitely going to talk about that. Planet Earth is increasingly radioactive, and it won't end well. Nope. Don't worry. We are not done. Genetically engineered mosquitoes to be released in 20 states. Court documents state that the flu vaccine is the most dangerous in the USA. I would have to say. The flu vaccine is the most dangerous vaccine in the USA based on settled cases for injuries. Back in 2013, there's been known to be super high levels of toxic of aluminum found in the brains of autistic patients. Aluminum is present in many vaccines. So let's go back down to this never-before-seen bacteria that we see growing outside of space. Outside of what these people are trying to do to us, let's actually look at this. Because this is, again, part of what I consider this breakaway civilization going over here and leaving Earth, committing giga-death. A never-before-seen bacteria, right? They keep saying this. They keep on saying this, and they keep saying we have drug-resistant superbugs. We're going to genetically engineer mosquitoes. You know, we're going to create our own viruses. It's like, what the hell are these people doing? Why are they doing these things? It is as if they are purposely and intentionally trying to push the barrier, trying to play with death, trying to beckon them. I put this up November 28th. It's from Mysterious Universe. It's by Paul Seaburn. It says, and now it turns out that somehow these swabs reveal bacteria that were absent during the launch of the ISS module. That is, they came from outer space and settled among the external surface. While the rest of humanity is looking on solar system moons and faraway exoplanets for signs of extraterrestrial life, a Russian cosmonaut revealed that he has already found it, and it's closer than you would think, on the outside of the International Space Station. Are we analyzing it? Or is it analyzing us? In an interview with TASS, cosmonaut Anton Shaklovov, busy preparing for his third trip to the International Space Station on December 17th, revealed that during his previous 365 days in space, he encountered what he described as life that was not brought to the ISS by humans or floated up on its own, but has, quote, come from outer space. Shaklovov, Anton, explained that he and other cosmonauts out on spacewalks used sterile cotton swabs to collect samples from the outer skin of the space station, especially from the remote and obscure places where other spacewalkers haven't looked before. Wow. How did they determine that what they swabbed was some sort of alien bacteria? Well, they said that after that, the samples were sent back to Earth. Oh, great. That's awesome. They are being studied so far, and it seems they pose no danger. Keywords in cosmonaut Anton's statement so far, it seems. Yes, bacteria samples have been found on the outside of the ISS before. That's how researchers found terrestrial bacteria that reached space via some sort of ionosphere lift and survived the vacuum and severe temperature shifts of space for years. They've also studied microorganisms inside the ISS and observed that space can cause them to mysteriously shapeshift, making them harder. According to Dr. Louis Zaya, one of the researchers, she says that we knew the bacteria behave differently in space, and it takes higher concentrations of antibiotics to kill them. So what did I just say? You know, with drug-resistant superbugs, antibiotics not working, and now they have this hepatitis A situation breaking out over here on the West Coast, as well as in Salt Lake City. And it's tied to the homeless population. All these diseases that you see popping up, Now, while we're talking about the vaccines that are over here literally modifying our DNA, we have to ask the deeper questions of why are they putting us through all these gauntlets, so to speak, these hurdles, these challenges. Well, this is how these people act. If they can modify the environment, they can modify us. Now, I believe that the environment will always win. Humans, we change a lot. The environment is very consistent. But if they can do these types of things, if they can create these things that affect us, the Earth, she will adapt. Mother Nature is very, very strong. Yes, we think we're powerful, and yes, we do have some destructive tendencies. But the Earth is much stronger, you see. And when we're looking at these types of diseases, these man-made diseases, and now apparently these extraterrestrial bacterias that are just drifting down on the Earth, drifting down onto like our area, God only knows what it's doing to us. We really need to do an episode on Morgellons, where we break this stuff down, where we actually look at why is this type of stuff happening? What happens to these types of diseases? What happens to this type of behavior, to these types of genes? And as I said before, why are they doing it? It's so that they can come through later and try to act as if, try to perform transhumanism on us. Try to say, you know what, right now we are currently flawed in our state of being and we need to transform. We need to be more than human. We need to be more than what we're right now. We are incapable, and we need technology to get ourselves into a better state. You see. But that's how this works. They put this stuff out here. They put this stuff out here, they make us seem inferior, they try to destroy us, and then they try to come through with the solution and say, you know what, well, we're sorry that we actually modified your genes. We're sorry that these things have happened to you. Let us make you a bionic human being. Let us give you an exoskeleton. Let us give you all of this technology to fix our little mistake. So we're going to listen to and watch this little video about Morgellons real quick. This is from M. Lord and God. But I think this kind of talks about, or he'll probably explain it better, why Morgellons is important. And if anything, we'll come back and talk about all the geoengineering, the genetically modified mosquitoes, post-weather modification, and all the other things that are going on surrounding this very, very cryptic topic.
Morgellons nanotags for readable, writable, programmable humans. Chemtrails, GMO, and transhumanism. We've all heard of Morgellons. It's found in the saliva of humans, the tissue of humans, the tissue of the skin. It's in the blood. And in cultures, these Morgellon cells are found to reproduce themselves. The CDC is trying to investigate Morgellons. People that have Morgellons feel a very eerie skin crawling sensation. Many people also have lesions on their skin and protruding fibers from their skin. It's believed that chemtrails is what is bringing these substances into the atmosphere and to the environment, and this is also what's bringing these substances on our skin and into our bodies. If we would like to see if we have Morgellons, we can take the wine test. And many people have taken this wine test and found that they do have Morgellons in their saliva. The CDC had a study, and the results of the study stated
for
this.
People who are curious about what the wine test is, don't quote me on this, but basically, what you do is you take the Morgellons, you get a lot of wine in your mouth, you swish it around, and you spit it into something. You use like a little bit of hydrogen peroxide. You swish it around in there, and then you spit it out, and then you're able to figure out whether or not there are actual fibers in it. It's crazy, but I'll let her continue on.
It showed that this condition appears to be uncommon among a population representative of North Carolina residents. Skin damage from the sun was the most common skin abnormality found, and no single underlying medical condition or infectious source was identified. Upon thorough analysis, most sores appeared to result from chronic scratching and picking without an underlying cause. The CDC concluded that, quote, the materials and fibers obtained from skin biopsy specimens of Morgellons patients were mostly cellulose compatible with cotton fibers, end quote. But this is where they shot themselves in the foot. In short, cellulose is a mixed material composed of many individual components. It forms the supporting structure of plant cells and therefore is present in all plants. Cellulose is indigestible to humans. As a result, cellulose is won from linters. These very short fibers cannot be spun and accumulated as a byproduct of cotton. Linters are composed almost exclusively of cellulose. They are cleansed for use in foodstuffs, and impurities are separated. Note, we have to keep in mind the cellulose content of cotton fiber is 90%. What if the cotton is genetically modified cotton, GMO cotton? Fibers tested that were extruding from the skin of Morgellons patients was incompatible with human DNA and is not produced by the human body. So where do these fibers come from? Morgellons disease is man-made. What is the composition of Morgellons fibers? The fuzzy white fibers or cotton balls that are found growing on top of the skin lesions. There were colored fibers or threads as well, usually pink, blue, and black, found under the skin, even the surrounding healthy tissue, and often poke through the lesions. Then there are the clear fibers that have a small golden bulb in the end. The white fuzzy fibers or cotton balls were found to be fluorescent and glow when exposed to ultraviolet light. Human cells do not have any fluorescent properties, concluding that this is a foreign object. Fluorescent property in a human body is not natural, which suggests that the glowing fuzzy fibers quite possibly originated from a transgenetic organism that was residing in the Morgellons lesion. Scientists were curious as to how such an organism got into the Morgellons victims. One of the fluorescent proteins was identified as belonging to the bacteria known as Chromobacterium violaceum, generally found in the soil and water of subtropical regions. It produces an antioxidant called violacin. The bacteria may be responsible in part for deadly immune system infections that are concurrently resistant to antibiotics. I'd like to leave you a video concerning mind control, smart dust, nanotags, Morgellon fibers, chemtrailing, what the Morgellons cells look like, how they reproduce. And this is a video I'd like to leave a link for you to see. It's about 20 minutes, and it's very informative because they have evidence as to what these Morgellons fibers are. They're nanotag smart dust for mind control and...
We're not going to play the full 20-minute long video.
Transhumanism, and it's frightening because people have no control over this. Okay, this is a sample of my saliva and red wine and rubbing alcohol, 90%.
Yeah, we're not going to play the full video, but we'll leave that playing right there for you guys. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about things like geoengineering, you know, like genetically modified mosquitoes, all of this stuff, this post-weather modification. Yes, there's chemtrails. Yes, they can modify the weather. But what does that really mean? You know, are we asking the deeper questions? How is this affecting us? That's why I wanted to talk about the bioaccumulation, the mind control aspect of this, the transhumanism that these people are trying to commit on us. So stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be talking about this and more. This is Terraforming Earth Incursion. So, thank you guys. We are back. You know, there's a... This stuff, it really... The deeper you get down the rabbit hole, you really do have to understand, yes, we are up against what seems like insurmountable odds. But that's why it's creating a whole new realm, a whole new man, a whole new human. Now, before I get into how these people are trying to create their own versions of humans, like I said, these subhumans that they're trying to turn us into, the transhumans that they want us to actually be, and then we have ascended humans, people who are waking up and want to actually be like the fullest potential of us, you know, people that actually feel the earth move, who can feel that energy, feel like the earth just humming. And ask yourself, does space give off a sound? If we sat in total emptiness, if there were no humans, could we hear the heavens sing? I'm sure we could. I'm sure a lot. Everything gives off vibrations. Everything gives off a certain frequency. And that's why these people are trying to hijack reality, hijack what is normal, and do all this crazy stuff. You see, like I said, we're going to be talking about the architects of the society. That's how they see Lucifer. That's how they see him as these Freemasons, these Zionists, the Illuminati. They see him as the great architect. And that's why they try to mimic him by playing God, by trying to do all of these wicked things against us, to be that great adversary, to be the adversary, the devil against humanity. You see, that's why you've got to ask yourself what these people are doing. If we let them, that's why I broke it off, we can either choose to be the subhumans that they're trying to turn us into, degenerates, where we're stuck on opioids, where we don't care, you know, life isn't anything, we're just a bunch of shmee-shmee. We don't care for life. We've become degenerates, you see. That's what they want. They want us to be like them. But on top of that, what they would like to be are these transhumans, these ascended humans, but they've been falsely lied to. They will try to take this technology, and it will only subdue them even farther. It will secure their place in hell. Or we can truly be the ascended people that we were actually destined to be. When we're looking at the terraforming Earth aspect, this is an incursion, an invasion, a wave, an attack against us. And we can either cower and become these subhumans and just cower and wait to die, or we can rise to the occasion, as I said before, making the new man. And I have faith in us, but as I said before, we've got to be aware of these issues and aware of the things that are going on. So realize that. Realize that when we talk about this, I am an extraordinarily optimistic person. But we've got to look at how stark and how real reality is in order for us to make the best educated decisions. And this is why they want to try to curtail information, delete content, and do all the things that they're doing, because it allows for them to control the narrative, control the outcome. And this is why I tell you guys all the time, support independent media, support what you see, vote with your dollars, vote with your lifestyle, change it up. Because if we continue to buy into this culture, into the system, it will only further enslave us. So let's get into this right here. Genetically engineered mosquitoes to be released in 20 states. Now, this isn't the first time that we've actually heard this. This is from Humans Are Free. I put this up November 28th. We actually heard about this, you know, around the time that Zika was first released. And I say released because there's Bill Gates right there again at the helm of it all, genetically engineering stuff he shouldn't. Now we're hearing, and we've also heard how they were going to do this in California as well. They're doing this all over the place, genetically engineering mosquitoes and then releasing them. What do you think that's going to do? That's going to destroy the environment. Those mosquitoes that were there are going to get wiped out. Let's get into this. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has approved the release of genetically engineered mosquitoes in 20 states and Washington, D.C. What are the implications of this mass experiment? In early November, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, approved the use of mosquitoes, which have been genetically engineered to carry a common bacterium designed to kill mosquitoes that carry dangerous viruses. So, basically, virus-killing mosquitoes. It's crazy, but they're going to do it. What happens whenever these viruses that are inside these mosquitoes mutate, and then we have virus-killing mosquitoes with genetically engineered viruses within them? The news was reported in Nature and later confirmed to Gizmo by a mosquito mate, the company behind the genetically engineered mosquitoes, and the EPA. The EPA said that they officially registered mosquito mate's Asian tiger mosquito with a 5-year license to sell their lab mosquitoes in 20 states across the nation. Nature reported on November 3rd, the agency told biotechnology startup Mosquito Mate that it could release the bacterium Wolbachia pepititis, or pipientis, into the environment as a tool against the Asian tiger mosquito, the Aedes albopictus. And it was the Aedes aegyptus mosquito that was that they said they used for the delivery mechanism of Zika. But lab-reared mosquitoes will deliver the bacterium to wild mosquito populations. The decision, which the EPA has not formally announced, allows the company, which is based in Lexington, Kentucky, to release the bacteria-infected mosquitoes in 20 states and Washington, D.C. The goal is to have mosquito mate release the Wolbachia-infected A. albopictus male mosquitoes into the wild to mate with the wild females in the hopes that the fertilized eggs do not hatch due to faulty paternal chromosomes. So they basically made these things infertile. They made virus-killing mosquitoes infertile so that they could go through and wipe out female populations. As with all mosquitoes, the laboratory-grown male mosquitoes do not bite. Male mosquito or mosquito mate believes that over time, the infected males will help shrink the population of A. albopictus mosquitoes. Stephen Dobson, an entomologist at the University of Kentucky in Lexington and the founder of Mosquito Mate, told Nature that the other species of mosquitoes and other insects are not harmed by the release of the lab mosquitoes. They're not harmed. You're weeding them out. Dobson also stated that the Mosquito Mate plans to begin selling the mosquitoes locally in Lexington, Kentucky, and then from there expanded to nearby cities. So basically, they're making genetically engineered mosquitoes and just releasing them, just saying, you know what, we're doing it. Sounds crazy, but we're going to do it. We're going to make these mosquitoes, and we're going to they're going to take care. Don't worry. They're going to destroy the mosquitoes that are there. So moving on. Outside of them releasing genetically engineered mosquitoes, you may have seen the fact that there is some radioactive material making its way across Europe, which I'm sure prompted this article of how planet Earth is increasingly radioactive and it won't end well. When we and before I get into this, because you know I'll have people emailing me saying, "Oh, you know, he's talking about fallout. Listen to him." I'm not talking about fallout. We really got we have to take a step back and realize that to a degree, whenever we're talking about this type of stuff, we are preventing it, and prevention is the best measure. Like I said, being aware of these problems, it eventually negates them. So yes, they are following a plan to a massive degree, but you've got to think about continuity as well. They wouldn't make all these plans and then not do anything to execute them. There's an end goal to all of what is happening. But you've got to go really, really, really deep and dark and light through all of this to see it. So even though I'm literally talking about how they're saying that Earth is becoming increasingly radioactive, there are things that we will do as humans and naturally because of the course of events, because of the ascension process, because of the paradigm shift, because of the changing of the age. And this is why they're trying to come in these days, is to learn so much about us. It's crazy. We will get through this. But this is from the Waking Times. It's from Vic Bishop, who is a staff writer. I put this up November 29th. It says, it's not often addressed in mainstream media, but whether or not we see nuclear war, the future of our existence is most likely to be radioactive doom. And while the disaster of Fukushima has made some headlines in recent years, the world's radiation problem is far worse than what is being acknowledged. According to the Nuclear Energy Institute, there are close to 500 nuclear reactors on planet Earth, and the number continues to grow. Accompanying these sites are also the requisite nuclear waste sites, which also include dumps for weapons and other military testing. Spent fuel rods of the kind used in power plants like Fukushima, having half-lives of 222,000 to 15.7 million years, meaning they're all fuel rods being used today, will far outlive the human race in radioactivity. And how long are spent fuel rods radioactive? Of particular concern in nuclear waste management and two long-lived fission products, TC-99, which is a half-life of, like I said, that 22,000, or 220,000 years, and I-29, or I-129, half-life of 15.7 million years, which dominate spent fuel radioactivity after a few thousand years. Storage, so basically after those years is whenever they're not as radioactive, but they're still radioactive. Storage of spent radioactive material is criminally negligent in many cases and delusional in so far as humans can absolutely not predict nor negate the long-term possible impacts of weather and natural disasters on active plants and storage facilities. As I talked about with the Texas Arkema plant, I forget the other plants that were in Florida. And obviously with Fukushima. Continuing on, it says, quote, Robert Alvarez, a nuclear policy specialist since 1975, reports that spent nuclear fuel in the United States compromises the largest concentration of radioactivity on the planet, 71,000 metric tons, worse since the Yucca Mountain Waste Repository has been scrapped due to its proximity to active faults. The U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission has allowed reactor operators to store four times more waste in the spent fuel pools, than they're designed to handle. In the U.S., there is an alarming situation already emerging as an annual production of radioactive waste outpaces storage capacity, and many facilities are winging it with overcrowded, contaminated pools. Wow, that's crazy. Four times. Yeah, this definitely should have been recognized, like, upon conception. Like, this is why we need to get rid of nuclear material. Because this is going to kill us all. This is the type of stuff that kills you. This is post-weather modification. Like I said before, with the Texas Arkema plant explosion and Fukushima, what is this going to do to the environment? What is that going to do to us? They're doing these types of things. Long exposures of radiation, long exposures of pesticides, long exposure to chemicals. This is big pharma and big agriculture. All these different corporations working in cohesion to try to take down the American race. So give yourself credit. These people are really trying. These people are really, really trying to get you. Because they know how powerful you are. They know what you're capable of. They know what you can do. And they are trying their damnedest to cut us off. To cut us off not only from God, but cut us off from nature. Cut us off from what's important. Cut us off from what's real. And people have to ask, why is that important? Because in this world where we think we know it all, we learn new things every day. That's the point of life, is to learn. Let's look at this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What is going on? Wow. A lot of studio problems today. It has been a runaround day. But right here, you know, let's look at this. Like I said, what the human body can do, why we are so powerful, why they know that there's no way for them to try to actually conquer us. This is why they have to come up with new different things, new and different things every different year. This is why I focus on energy. This is why I focus on vaccines. This is why I focus on things like density, why we have to really understand the human experience. And why we really should give ourselves the credit we deserve. You see, I put this up November 27th. It says, study shows what sharp changes in the solar and geomagnetic activity due to the human body. I think this is actually from Collective Evolution. And it says that over the past few years, a number of publications have emerged from scientists and researchers all over the world regarding the human magnetic field. Not only have they been studying the human magnetic field, they've also been studying the magnetic field of the planet and how all these fields, including our own, can impact ourselves and people around us. It's similar to quantum entanglement in that both show that everybody and every living thing is connected in ways we haven't yet to fully understand. Leading the charge are the brilliant scientists over at the HeartMath Institute, an internationally recognized nonprofit research and education organization. It dedicates itself to helping people reduce stress, self-regulate emotions, and build energy and resilience for healthy and happy lives. And so, you know, you really gotta understand. When there are genuinely people out there meditating for peace, praying for peace, we live in a world where we just talk smack about that type of stuff. We're talking smack about people that actually want to understand love. But we can't do that in a world where you can't actually genuinely try to love something else without seeming crazy. Basically a world without love, you're going to look strange. So I commend this. And, you know, yeah, you know, I'm sure I'll catch slack for people saying, oh, you know, look at freedom over here, loving the hippies and the New Agers. It's like, well, yeah, you know, they're more loving than you over there. Even if they let their heads be in the clouds. At least they're still trying to do some love, some work, some goodness. It's better than the criticism. Let me get back into this. A large portion of their research has investigated heart and brain interaction. Researchers have examined how the heart and brain communicate with each other and how that affects our consciousness and the way in which we perceive our world. For example, when a person is feeling really, really positive, emotions like gratitude, love, or appreciation, the heart beats out a certain message. But because the heart beats out the largest electromagnetic field produced in the body, it can yield significant data for researchers, and this is something that we talked about a lot of. Now, the Institute has published new research which suggests that daily autonomic nervous system activity not only responds to changes in solar and geomagnetic activity, but it also synchronizes with time-varying magnetic fields associated with geomagnetic field line resonances and Schumann resonances. Awesome. That's a powerful statement. So before I go into this, we've talked about the Schumann resonance, and you know, this is where, if anything, this is where they get the study of things like astronomy, you know, your zodiac, your horoscope, things of this nature. If these people are literally over here able to track your patterns through your posting on your Facebook, I'm sure that there's, you know, actual real science into like the constellations, into our actual orientation here on the planet, here into actually what's going on. There's digital science, and then there's actual science, what's going on around us, spiritual science. This is why we try to really tackle this stuff, because we have to understand the human orientation and all the solar and, as I said, geomagnetic activity. It synchronizes. We are living in an enclosed system where everything is connected. If anything, this is why I'll use this as a springboard to talk about this post that Connecting Consciousness put up, you know, where they talked about mugwort and how it's an ancient herb known to induce lucid dreaming and astral travel or astral projection, where, again, you're able to use the energy of your body to exist here. This is, again, it leads more credence to the interdimensional or the multidimensional human. It says consumption of the plant or a tincture thereof has been shown to increase the intensity of dreams and the level of control, and it aids in the recall of dreams upon waking. This can even be achieved from smoking the plant. This is similar to ayahuasca. This is similar to these types of things. And we look at these types of plants. We look at these types of medicines, as they said, tinctures, these things that go on that really make us question what is happening around us, why we have the capability to understand and see what is happening and interact with it. Go back and listen to my quantum reality episode where I talked about how to describe infinity. But let me get through this. You know, I'm ranting at this point. Let me get through this. It says in 1952, German physicist and professor W. O. Schumann of the Technical University of Munich began attempting to answer whether or not the Earth itself has a frequency, a pulse. His assumption about the existence of this frequency came from his understanding that when a sphere exists inside another sphere, an electrical tension is created. Since the negatively charged Earth exists inside the positively charged ionosphere, there must be tension between the two, giving the Earth a specific frequency. Following his assumptions through a series of calculations, he was able to land upon a frequency he believed was the pulse of Earth. This frequency was 10 Hertz. So basically it goes on to point out how, and I'll put this link in the description so you guys can check it out, because it could go on forever. It basically talks about how we are connected. you know, the Earth's magnetic field and how, you know, they're carriers of a biologically relevant information that connects to all living systems, how every person affects this global information field, large numbers of people creating heart coherent states of love, appreciation, care, and compassion can generate a more coherent field environment that benefits others and helps offset the current planetary discord and incoherence. There is a feedback loop between human beings and Earth's electromagnetic system, energetic systems. I cannot stress this enough. If we don't realize what's going on and how we are monumental in being able to affect change, how can we truly be effective? That's what I try to harp on every single episode, because this is the human potential. When we're talking about astral travel, when we're talking about all the different things that we're capable of, absorbing the sunlight's energy, absorbing others' energies, we're not understanding the human potential and how powerful we can be. So yes, everything I just said, it is very real, and everything I just said about you is very real as well. And even though we have an uphill battle, I plan to be right there with you guys as we go through it. But like I said, I'm ranting. That's all I really have for you guys. This has been Terraforming Earth Incursion, and these people are in for a fight. And that's all I really have for you guys. I know I kind of jumped all over the place, but I really wanted to illustrate to you guys not only with the most recent news, but how this is an ongoing trend. This is what these people are intending to do. They want to try to dehumanize us, therefore then depopulate us. That's how this works. But as all of these trials, as we see all of these things coming against us, this adversity, this will create our own version of the new man. We will overcome these things. These are only temporary problems. But like I said, that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. Or think about becoming an exclusive member where you can get access to all kinds of different content. Polls, discussions, extended episodes, you name it. And, you know, with net neutrality coming up, we're going to need all the support we can in this fight against that adversity. But like I said, we're done. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys, stay vigilant, expose lies, and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.